Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Let's say, praise God. We say these words and we mean them. And I didn't say this in the microphone when you were passing it around, but I'm so glad to be here tonight. And thank you for inviting me. When I was preparing this sermon, I realized that in the past, I would search in my mind what would be something that young people need. And definitely, I'm preaching to young people, so hopefully this will apply to you. But mostly, I realize that I'm just going to share what I'm going through. And I wasn't looking for like specific articles or whatever, you know, here's the problem that youth faces, or trying to remember what I was going through when I was a little younger. I was pretty much just thinking about God's word. And so I'm going to share that I believe that God's eternal word applies to any age, every age. Excuse me. And may God bless. If you ask me to summarize my sermon or to give it a title, I don't have a title, but I'm just going to talk and preach about being fervent in spirit. There is a time when we have sharpness of mind and we understand certain things, maybe after a good sleep, after maybe a good vacation, we come back to work, come back to college after a break, and we're like, yes, we can do it. But after a while, we get tired and we become dull in our thinking. And similarly, things happen in our spirit, unfortunately. When the scripture says you need to be fervent in spirit. A brother before me was preaching about having love and making sacrifice. And we like make decision like, rah, 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 we're going to do this. But after a while, after some time, we get tired, maybe depressed with something, maybe we just get disillusioned about certain things. And the scripture says, no, you have to be fervent in spirit. And there's a passage in the scripture that says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Raise your hand if you have an ear. Okay, some of you don't, but that's fine. You probably have two ears. The scripture says, and I remember my pastor like 30-something years ago in Ukraine, he was explaining this, and he says, why one ear? Why it doesn't say two ears? Like in the Revelation, it says, the one who has an ear, one ear, одно ухо. And he says, if you have two ears, в одно влетает, другое вылетает. If you want to listen to someone carefully, you have to actually listen with one ear. I don't know if that's the meaning of that scripture, but I believe that the true meaning or the main thought is to pay attention to what the Spirit is speaking or what He says to your heart. A few months ago, I was preaching in a Russian service and I was preaching about the importance of knowing the voice of the Holy Spirit, not just the words, but the voice of the Holy Spirit. Some of you probably have this question, like, how do I hear the voice of the Lord? How can I learn to listen to His voice? And I gave an example at that time about some dangers of the AI and the artificial intelligence intrusion in the life of people in general and in the life of Christians. And I gave an example about one online post on Reddit, and it was made by a user that has r/trans, basically a trans person, transgender, and that person, feeling unaccepted, dejected, asked GPT, I'm sorry, AI, to write a fake Bible verse about Jesus accepting trans people. And the fake Bible verse begins with a woman approaching Jesus and asking, Lord, I come to you estranged, for my spirit and my body are not one. How shall I hope to enter the kingdom of God? This is not in the Bible. If you missed what I just said, listen carefully, okay? And then supposedly a fake Bible verse, fake Jesus replied, listen carefully. My child, blessed are those who strive for unity within themselves, for they shall know the deepest truths of my Father's creation. Be not afraid, for in the kingdom of God there is no man or woman, as all are one in spirit. The gates of my Father's kingdom to those who love will be open to those who love and are loved. For God looks not upon the body, but the heart. Hopefully nobody says amen. Although a lot of good words pulled out from real Bible verses put together by smart ChatGPT. And if you don't know the Bible, or even if you do know the Bible, but don't pay attention to the spirit of it, you may actually believe that this is true. In fact, I was reading it to the Sunday school teachers in the regional meeting, and I didn't mention anything, you know, about trans people and stuff, and I was just reading, and some of them said, amen. And I was reading for our teachers at TCA. They didn't say amen because I made the same introduction. But then one of the teachers went to her church, and she was in the worship group. And she asked one of the guys in the worship group in a real service, I don't recommend that, but in a real service to read this passage, this fake Bible verse. You know what people were saying? Amen, hallelujah. I wouldn't do that. I didn't ask her to do that. But when she came back and she said, Alex, Mr. Alexander, do you realize that people actually don't even pay attention to the Word of God? And the worst thing is that it's not just the words, because like I said, there is the scripture, a passage or part of the Bible verse that says that God looks not upon the body but the heart. It's just out of context. There is a passage in the words of Jesus when he talks about male or female not being the same way as we here on this earth, we treat each other as male, female, man, woman. In the heaven, we'll be like angels. Different thing. But it's all out of context. It's a different spirit. And if you, being young and unexperienced, and I'm not pointing fingers, I'm just speaking in general, and if you don't pay attention, and if you don't learn how to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, God forbid, you may actually take that bait and you may actually believe certain things that are totally not in the Bible. They're against the Bible, and sadly, people do believe those things. So God wants to hear, God wants me and you to hear well. He wants us to see right. And in the scripture, when he was calling people specifically, there's a case when Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, he writes about himself, and he says that the Lord turned to him and said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I, Jeremiah said, he was young. He was 17, 18 years old. He said, alas, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak because I'm youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I'm a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go, and all that I command you, you shall speak. And I believe this, that God actually uses children and young people sometimes in such an amazing way. He doesn't care if you're 16 or 26 or 66. Amen? He has the purpose for every person who's called into his body and who's a member of his church. And he says, the Lord, do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And then he says about God's calling, but then there's an interesting thing in verse 11, Jeremiah 1:11. Says that the word of the Lord came to me saying, what do you see, Jeremiah? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Something, for me, it's like something random. But the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see a boiling pot facing away from the north." It looks like God is training Jeremiah. It's like for the first vision, there is no explanation, no purpose, except that to train him to see well. And I believe that God is training you when you are younger, older as well, but when you are young, you are in a training process. You need to hear well, understand what the Lord is speaking to you, and see well. Understand how this situation that you are in, how it applies to your life, how God has his word, his scripture for your situation in your life. You need to get some training on that. Now, if I ask you this question, can you tell the difference between God's voice and all other different voices in this world? Think about it. Can you tell the difference? Can you distinguish his voice from the rest of the voices and noise in this world? Hopefully, yes. Hopefully, you think for the most time. Maybe you think, well, I wish I was able to always immediately recognize God speaking to me. You know, for me, it seems it's not in the scripture necessarily, but it seems like we often do not hear the voice of the Lord, not because he doesn't speak to us, but because we are distracted by all other noises. I don't know if you tried to talk to someone after the state youth service in the hallway, and if they are standing like 6 feet from you, right? It's impossible to whisper. It's impossible to speak normally. You have to speak loud. Yes or no? I think so. At least when I was at the state youth services, I remember that time. And what does that mean? The Holy Spirit is not screaming at us. The Holy Spirit, God, is not yelling at us. He is speaking gently. He is whispering into our hearts. Yes, of course, he can speak as thunder, but for the most part, we need to slow down. We need to make sure that we don't just close our phone for 30 seconds, but we actually take time to slow down and to listen to his voice. And we'll talk about that. Thank you for reading this scripture about Jesus comparing himself to a good shepherd, and all of us are his sheep. So let's go to this key passage, John chapter 10, and meditate on it a little bit more or deeper. He says, Jesus talks to the crowds, and he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep." Before we talk about relationships with God and how he speaks to our hearts, and by the way, I'm not going to go into details how God uses different methods. He speaks through the peace in our hearts, through our thoughts, through his scripture, through circumstances, through other people, even through your parents, right, or siblings. God can speak through anyone or anything directly to our hearts. But I want to focus a little bit more on this verse number 2. He who enters by the door. Okay? It's important for us to understand that there is a certain way God enters into his church, into our life. This certain way he walks. He has an authority. He is the owner. He is the shepherd of the sheep, of this fold of the sheep. And he enters through the door. He never climbs up and jumps over the fence. He knows where the entrance, he opens it up. And for us, it means that God does not tolerate compromises. Everybody understands the word compromise, right? When we, not us, but generally speaking, when somebody is trying to lower the standard or negotiate or give something up to get something from others, compromise. And I'm not talking about, you know, situations where I'm being a married person, I need to compromise with my wife sometimes, you know, and to make decision like, hey, we need to do this, secondary things. I'm talking about the truth of the scripture. I'm talking about God's word. He is not going to give up anything from his word. Whatever he said, whatever is written in his holy scripture, it's forever the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And praise God for that. That means that he's not changing. Our foundation is firm. Whatever he promised to you 3 years ago, whatever he promised a couple hours ago, that's forever, okay? That's great. And that means that there's only one door. There's only one way. Jesus is the only way. He does not compromise. He does not have any hidden agenda, hidden motives. He doesn't change his mind. He is everything what he says. Everything what he says, he means that. And we have hope in that, in his promises and in his word. Amen? But this is something that actually makes people mad. Or confused at least, non-believers. Like, how come? It's so radical. It's some kind of message that is intolerant to others and so on. And it can offend people. And people say things like, oh, I get offended. And sometimes even, you know, us Christians, we feel like, oh, I don't want to embarrass anyone. Oh, I don't want to, like, I'm not even talking about myself, like embarrassing myself preaching to others. I just love these people. I'll be sympathetic. I'm just going to, like, sugar it up and then just give them a little bit of truth so that they are not offended. But Jesus didn't do that. Amen? Jesus didn't do that. He says, I'm the door, actually, a little later in this chapter. There's only one way. There's only one truth, and I'm the door. And there was one case when Pharisees came to Jesus and asked him, why your disciples do not wash their hands before they eat food. Like, there was traditional washing of hands before they ate food. And Jesus told them that basically this is something that you guys made up. This is the doctrines of human people, and it's not God's law. And Jesus' disciples came to him later, and he said, do you know that Pharisees, they were offended when they heard this statement, what you just said? And interesting that Jesus did not apologize and said, oh, that's so bad, we need to catch up with them later and just apologize and pray for them so that they will understand. He said, no, every plant that my Father didn't plant will be rooted up, will be plucked out, and it's not going to stay. So basically he said, there's no compromise. Whatever God's truth is, we need to take it, believe it, share with others, and not being embarrassed about it. And I was thinking more on this, how Jesus' message is so radical, so straightforward, so basically one way, no other way. We even sing songs like that. And I remembered another passage in Luke chapter 12 when he says that I came to bring division. Usually we talk about unity. Usually we talk about Jesus being, bringing peace, being the Prince of Peace. But in that passage, he says, no, I came to bring a sword. I came to bring the fire. Let's read it because I think it makes good point and emphasizes what I'm trying to preach about. So in Luke chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus says, I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it's accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to grant peace on earth? I tell you no, but rather division. Have you actually read this passage? I'm pretty sure you read, right? But it sounds kind of like strange. Did actually Jesus preach that? It's so radical, so controversial in a way. And he says, he keeps this topic and says, "For from now on, five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." He talks about this, and there is another passage that in Matthew on the same topic, it explains why he said what he said. And in Matthew chapter 10, he says, in verse 34, similar things. He said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." Okay, pay attention. But a sword. Jesus himself, he's saying, "I came to bring a sword." Mitch, same word in the original. And again, he says, "I came to set a man against his father," and so on. "And a man's enemies will be the members of his household." And then he explains what he means by this sword or division. He says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it." There's only one right way to live. That's what Jesus is trying to communicate. He says that if you really want to be a Christian, if you really want to follow me, if you really want to have a success in your life, not success in terms of making a lot of money, but success of doing the will of my Father, fulfilling your purpose, being satisfied with your life, serving others, if you really want to do it, sooner or later, you will have enemies. Sooner or later, you will need to make decision where you, like with a sword, you're cutting off certain things in your life. Another illustration is take up your cross. And what do you do with the cross? You need to crucify people on that. Who? Others? No. Yourself, your desires, your things. And we're talking about one way, one door. Jesus Christ says there's only one way. Young people, sooner or later in your life, maybe for a while you will be able to kind of sit on the fence. Maybe for a while you'll be able to be friends with those who hate God, be friends with the things that are against God, with the idols, with the songs, with the messages, with the posts, with the ideas, with the entertainment, with the places, maybe for a while. But there will be a place where Jesus himself will bring you to the point where you need to make a decision. And you will need to make that decision and says, "No, enough is enough. I choose to serve God. But the true sacrifice, I choose to follow Jesus." And Jesus said, when you do that, when you make that step, then you are ready to follow me as sheep follow the shepherd. Now you understand. Now you obey my voice. Because if you do not obey his voice, what's the point of seeking for him? What's the point of even coming to church and listening to the sermons or reading the Bible if you are not going to obey? But if you make that decision, "I'm going to serve the Lord," he says that he is going to lead you and he is going to be your shelter and your refuge. And I want to talk about that too. But before I get to that, in verse 3, there's another thought. And John chapter 10, verse 3 says, "To him the doorkeeper opens." Who's the doorkeeper, brothers? Who's the doorkeeper? The shepherd is Jesus. Who's the doorkeeper? Sisters. It's multiple choice. John the Baptist, Holy Spirit, local church's pastor, youth leader. Huh? Well, sisters, good job. Yeah. All right. Yes, of course, I think we all kind of know the answer. Yes, the Holy Spirit, He is the one who can open that door. The scripture has multiple passages saying that we are born again through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We are led by the Spirit, filled by the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit. We even see when Jesus was walking with His disciples, you know, and He said that this is, I don't quote at this point, but He said, "Peter, this was revealed to you by my heavenly Father, not by flesh or blood. This is not something from you." So when we receive something from the scripture and that becomes our revelation, we can sort of, feel like the door is open now. We know where to go. We know this is the right direction. The scripture says that in the past, God spoke to people through the prophets, but in these last days, He speaks through His Son, Jesus Christ. He speaks through us to us, and He gives us revelations, and they all point to Jesus Christ. They all point to for us to the direction where we can get closer to Him. If you receive some kind of revelation and it gets you farther from the Lord, it's not a revelation from God. If your eyes got open and like for Bartimaeus, and the first thing what you saw was Jesus, that's the true revelation, that you can follow Him. But if you are thinking about something really deep, really mysterious, mystic, some kind of experiences even, and they are not getting you closer to God, it's a very questionable revelation. Amen? So the doorkeeper opens the door, and the sheep hear His voice, and He calls His own sheep by name and leads them out. And so, like this expression, He calls His own sheep by name. That's another sign that Jesus is talking to you when you hear your name. And by that, I don't mean like the actual name. Maybe you can hear that, you know, the way the Lord speaks to you, that's great. But what I think this passage says is that He knows something that nobody else knows in this world. Like, you never shared that with your parents, with your friends, because it's like so, so deep. And I'm not talking about some kind of sins. Maybe there are some secrets that you need to confess before the Lord. I'm talking about some things like, maybe you had a question like, "Lord, I don't know how this works in life." And it's like, for you, it's embarrassing. For you, maybe, or you're just like, "This is such a naive question. I'm not going to share with anyone." But when the Lord speaks to you, He starts answering that question. He speaks to you by name, like, "This is your, Alex, this is your problem or your situation or your question." And He brings some light and He answers that question. It's just wonderful. When Jesus leads you, when He speaks to you, He addresses certain things that you really need to receive answer for. And maybe you do have answers. I believe some of you have answers. Maybe something's confusing about life or situation you're in. God gave me an opportunity to spend some time with non-Christians, non-believers recently, like totally non-believers, but also with one person who's about 30 years old, and he's not from our church. He's never been to our church, but he's a Slavic person, and he used to go to a different church, and very conservative church. And the way he communicates, the way that bitterness in his heart, a lot of questions, you know, that he asks, I believe that, you know, when the Lord speaks to people, He addresses those questions, that disappointment sometimes. And I don't want you to be disappointed. Keep asking God for answers. Pray to Him. People don't have answers. I don't have answers. You might be in the very unique situation. Maybe you're praying about your marriage. Maybe you're praying about your college. Maybe you're praying about your parents. Maybe you're praying someone in your life who's like a hypocrite, that calls himself or herself a Christian, but conducts himself in a weird way. Keep praying, because he will speak personally to you. He will give you the answer. Amen? And lastly, I want to point out a couple of things about that sword that Jesus said, I brought to this world. I believe that he talks about the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, a wonderful passage. We just heard one of the sisters shared this in the testimony on Sunday, and I was also thinking about this passage. 4:12 says, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged what? Sword. And piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's the depth. That's by name. The sword of the Lord. When it pierces, it says that it's living, it's breathing, active, it's pumping life into you. It's not just something like, here's a word, here's a passage to read. It actually speaks to you because it's the Word of God. And it says it pierces to divide your soul and your spirit, because our soul, our desires, whatever we are excited about, sometimes it, or very often, it leads us astray. And we think that we feel that we need to do something, or even we feel like it's the presence of the Lord. But it's our emotions. Emotions are great. Okay, feelings are awesome, you know, if they're good. Or if we are sad or whatever, we need to cry. I don't underestimate that part. But the scripture cuts that soul, those desires where a devil actually very often attacks, and he brings lusts and temptations through the soul. And it leaves spirit separately. And Jesus said, if you're born again, and I believe a lot of you are born again, then the spirit is not sleeping. The spirit actually wants to do the right things. And we are able to actually say, Alex, you actually want to do this. You actually want to go and pray. You don't want to go and eat second pizza. Or, you know, I'm just making this up. Or just watch another show or play a video game. So you're able to separate. The Word of the Lord says, here's what you actually need, what you actually want. And it also says that it separates or it's dividing the joints. And I was thinking about the joints, something that if it's separated or if it's divided, separated from the bones, it's our complete helplessness, no personal strength. We can only rely on God. When we are in His presence, we're like, Lord, I can't even win this battle. I need you. I can't do anything. Seems like it's such a simple thing. Just shut your mouth and don't be angry and don't talk like that. But I can't do it. It still opens up and I still cuss or I say things that I don't mean or don't want to say. And when we are helpless, God's grace is actually working in our life. Amen? And He's changing us and He's leading us like those sheep. And it says piercing through the marrow. And the marrow is, you know, bone marrow or whatever marrow. It's something that is actually impossible to separate in our own strength, in our own human strength. It's something that, like liquid or whatever. It's what the scripture says, that your essence, your motives, not even your thoughts. Because you can control your thoughts. You're like, oh, I think about this. But often you think certain things, but you mean something different. You have totally different motives. And when you read the scripture, when it works in your life, it works like that two-edged or even sharper than two-edged sword. And then you realize, oh, okay, here's that syncretism, if you know. You know, that when culture seeps in the church or when things and all kinds of problems, they mix up in our life with our true beliefs. That's called syncretism. It's such a blend, such a mix that you cannot separate it. Only the Word of God, only His pure Word, this sword can separate all those things, and He can point out and say, "Hey, you're wrong here. You need to go and apologize, or you have to change this if you want to really follow Me." And then the last thing, I promise this is going to be the last, but I still remember I mentioned about taking refuge in the Lord. It says in verse 4 and 5 that sheep actually run away or flee from the strangers or the voices that they realize are dangerous. They are not shepherds' voices. And in the scripture it says, in the several passages, especially in the book of Psalm, that, "Lord, You are my refuge, You are my hiding place." This is very important because the sheep, they can't fight, they can't bite, or maybe they can, but not in the sense of like protect themselves or attack. What they can do, they can hide. And often in our life, we're trying to fight every temptation. Or maybe even you're in a situation where you're like, "What else can I do to fight this temptation? I've been fasting, I've been praying, I've been confessing, I've been doing this." The Lord says He is your hiding place. He is your refuge. In the hiding place, you just come there, you come to Him, you say, "I give up, I can't fight this, it's scary, I don't know what to do." And the scripture says, David says, "You are my hiding place. I will wait for Your word." It's like hiding behind a concrete wall when there is attack, when there is something's wrong, and you wait for the signal, all clear. There's no danger. In the same way, sometimes we need to stop fighting in our strength, in our wisdom. We need to hide in the Lord, literally spend time reading, rereading His scripture, memorizing, repeating, proclaiming it into the spiritual world, and waiting for that right verse or thought that you take, and now you can get out from your hiding place and stand strong and stand against that temptation or whatever. So all this, I hope, something that you take for yourself. Like I said, I was thinking about this passage and I was thinking about this sermon, and I was trying to analyze my heart. Am I staying fervent, pure, vigilant in my spirit? Do I pay attention? Do I train my hearing, spiritual hearing? Do I obey the Lord when He speaks to me? Because He speaks always, God speaks always. Very often we don't listen to Him, we don't want to hear His voice. And if we want to be obedient, His word, His sword will work in our life. It will be painful sometimes. Sometimes people will not understand us. Sometimes even in our family, we may not have that understanding from our father or mother, not because they don't love us or something, but because we just need to go through this time and understand, what the Lord is doing in our life, what we need to give up, what we need to sacrifice, where we need to repent. And if we do that, if we obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, Jesus promises He leads His sheep to the green pastures. He feeds them, He protects them, He is their blessing forever. Amen. I would like to pray with you and pray for you. Let's all kneel down. Lord God, we come to You and we thank You for the